Let me first say congratulations to the graduating class of 2010. Congratulations to your friends and your family, and above all to your wonderful parents. I look out at you now, and I remember the first time I came to this campus. This morning I walked around, a little tears in my eyes, and I found myself smiling a lot as well. These were 8 wonderful years for me. And I remember coming from the University of Pennsylvania. And before I came here, they said, Lafayette is a great school, great academic school. But all the students who were way up on that hill, they really don't know much about what's happening in the world. And the first day I came here, I realized that that was not true. I would meet extraordinary people here the first day, wonderful faculty. I would meet Gary Miller, the chaplain at this college, and he was is a great person and encouraged the students to do so much for the poor and the downtrodden. And above all, I would meet the students. And what I found in them was an extraordinary appetite to help others and a passion to help the world. And within just a few days, I realized that what I heard was not true because they were coming down from the hill. They left this hill and they would go into the city of Easton. And they would recognize hunger and they would do something about it. They would begin to prepare food here and bring it down and open up a soup kitchen. They would go to the prison. They would start a project for the elderly. They would start a project for the street kids. And then there was one project, and I couldn't help but smile today and even laugh a little bit, was the project for the homeless. They had enormous goodwill, but maybe not the best prudence. But they would go down into the city of Easton and invite the homeless up here. They would meet them and bring them back on campus. And the one fraternity house, Theta Delta, I remember they would invite them into their bar room, set up cots in the bar room, and let them stay there overnight. The men thought they had died and went to heaven. But they meant well, and they had a big heart. And I remember very well, right over here in one of these benches, sitting down with a group of the students, and they began to share a dream. And I remember a dream once heard, a dream in itself is just a dream, but a dream shared with others is the beginning of reality. And those students says, we want to go to Haiti. And within a month, we would go off to Haiti. We would go to northern Haiti in the city of Gonaïves. I remember the first day there, seeing a long line of people. There were young people and teenagers and adults. And I felt so afraid and frightened. And I was ashamed of my own fear because the Lafayette students were already talking to them and working with them and laughing with them. They were all lepers. I didn't even know leprosy existed. And there were 1,200 lepers in that area of Gonaïves. Those students from Lafayette would come back here and they'd say, we got to do something. And they would organize a party that probably in the history of Lafayette was one of the biggest parties we ever had. Every fraternity house at that time, I think there were 19 of them, had to give 2 kegs of beer. We had it at the gym, and it was most successful. Enough that we raised enough money to build a leper clinic in northern Haiti. And those young people would go back and go back and go back again. And within a period of just 3 or 4 years, we had over 260 Lafayette students who had gone to Haiti. And they would found an organization called Hands Together. And many of those young people are still with me today. Doug Campbell graduated from here in 1986. He devoted his life to helping the poor in Haiti. He now serves as our executive director. And many, many of the young people who graduated from here have stuck with us. Peter Simon and Jeff Kirby and many fine young graduates. And I look out at you today and I want to say to you, thank you. The Lafayette students, they always wanted to go to the toughest place. And they would go to a place in Haiti called the Cité Soleil slum. It's documented as one of the poorest and most destitute areas of the world. It's where I have lived and worked for the last 14 years. There's 500,000 people living on 3 square miles of raw sewage. When you stand there, your feet literally sink into it. There's no sanitation, very little electricity, if any. We have a rat population 10 times that of the people. The oldest child stays up at night with a stick to keep the rats away. But those things you've learned to deal with. What's difficult for me, and I know it would be for you, is to see the children, because the children are dying. One half, 50% of those children, will die before their 5th birthday. If you could go back with me tomorrow, what you would see would be thousands of children with bloated stomachs filled with worms. Children have a certain stare in their eyes. Children whose hair that should be black turning an ugly color of orange, which is a sign of acute malnutrition. And then you look at the women. The women age in front of you. And they age because it's unnatural for a woman, a mother, to watch her child die. I don't know one woman in that area who has not lost a child. The Lafayette students began a clinic there that now serves 20,000 people. It's the only free clinic in the area. Almost every day at that clinic, I have to pull a baby away from a woman begging me to tell me their child has not died, and it has. And please forgive me for being so graphic, but not long ago, and I celebrate Mass every morning for Mother Teresa's nuns, there was a terrible stench in the chapel. And when the sun came up, we found the body of a little girl who had been eaten by rats and dogs. This is an area where the New York Times documented recently, where women out of desperation will take mud and they'll mix it with water or spice and they'll let it dry in the sun, and then they feed that mud to their children. They don't realize that they have deadly parasites, but this is all they have. And it's in this area that we fed 10,000 hot meals a day, and once a week, 200,000 dry meals. We've done that for many years. And then, just 4 months ago, shortly before 5 p.m., I was sitting in a house that, by the way, the Lafayette students had organized and found, five-story house. And in the house were homeless street kids that I had taken in over the years. I was sitting on the bottom floor with Doug Campbell, a Lafayette grad, when suddenly the earth began to shake. I don't know if you've ever been in an earthquake, but it was the most terrifying moment in my life. I felt the blood coming from my head and my back was in terrible pain, and yet I didn't know what was going on. My whole body was like shaking for 38 seconds. I didn't even think about going out. I tried to get under a table, but the floor was going in a different direction. You become totally disoriented. And finally, one person ran in and grabbed me and got me out, only in time for me to see the building go down. And I would then begin to hear the cries of the young people in that building. One cry, he was crying out, Père Tom, Adem, help me. He was a young boy that I found in the streets who had been shot and lost his eyesight. And now he's under that building, and I could not do anything to help him. For the next 24 hours, I sat there in vigil, and I watched as they began to pull some out. But when the sun came up the next day, we realized that some would never come out. When we found their bodies, we buried them right there on that spot. And since then, I've been living in a small tent just a few feet away from those graves. And every morning I get up and I look at that. And then I look about all the response that has come from all over the world. And I find myself praying in gratitude to God, and especially in gratitude to you, the Lafayette community. You heard the cry coming from Haiti, and you responded. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I speak for all the poor of Haiti, and I say to you, merci en pile, pour aider nous tout mon net. Help, thank you for helping the people of Haiti. I look out at you now, and all I can say to you is I love you dearly, and I will never forget what you have done. And as I stand here, I also have to say to you that The world owes you absolutely nothing. And you owe the world a great deal. I feel that there's a sense of urgency in me now as I look out at you. I realize we're living in a time when we no longer have the luxury of even being indecisive. Each and every one of you has to be very decisive. We're living in a time that has an orientation of a culture towards self-absorption and narcissism. We're living in a time when people, we don't value human beings. And I'm looking out at you, and I realize why I came up from Haiti, to beg you to be decisive. And what I'm asking you to do is to be someone who really cares for this world. Martin Luther King, in 1968, speaking in a church in Atlanta, Georgia, would say that to be truly alive and truly human, you must be three-dimensional. You must not only have a love for yourself, but a love for others and a love for God. And I challenge you, my dear graduates, to always be three-dimensional. I challenge you to stand on your own two feet and see the world as it truly is. All that's good, yes, but all that's evil. All that's beautiful and all that's ugly. And say, yes, I can make a difference in this world. I can have the courage to share my dreams with others. I thank you. And I thank you, and I want to tell you again how much I love this wonderful school. When I walked through here today, I saw the bench dedicated to Rick Thorpe. Rick Thorpe would be a student who came with me to Haiti. He would die in the World Trade Center. And we have evidence today that he was trying to help people from the 89th to the 80th floor. I would pass the memorial out there this morning. I counted 89 Lafayette graduates who died in the Second World War, almost the same number in the First, Korean, and Vietnam War. And you know you're part of a great tradition. Graduates from this wonderful school have gone all over the world to help people. And I beg you to take that mission seriously. My prayer for each and every one of you is this, that you will always be three-dimensional, and that the sight of a sunset will mean more to you than your material possessions. When the sounds of children will impress you more than the voices of the powerful and political people of the world. I pray that you'll always be able to dance and sing for the right reasons and weep, not for having lost something, but the realization God has given you so much. I believe in you, I love you, and I challenge you. God bless you, and God love you.